copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
We want to talk about how some of the simple principles from the life of Christ can transform your ministry. But as Terry said, you get to kind of find out about a bunch of us over the course of the week, but I got to go first, so I get to do the introduction. And this is my family. This is Team Chestnut here in the Czech Republic. I'm a pastor's kid who is originally hails from the other European American city known as New York. And growing up in the church, I had very little interest in ministry whatsoever, but especially in the realm of youth ministry. Only crazy people would want to get involved in youth ministry because they are terrible and they're just troublemakers and whatever else and blah, 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 blah. But like any good pastor's kid, I found myself on multiple missions trips and even found myself here in the Czech Republic when I was 12 years old and came back a number of other times. My dad built great connections with a number of the Czech guys over here. And then I came after college, not out of a deep sense of calling as to what the Lord wanted to do with me, but because I didn't want to live in my parents' basement. And, you know, that's ideal reasons to get involved in ministry. But thankfully, the Lord also had other plans for my life and found myself being a part of English camps and getting connected to an organization called Josiah Venture. In fact, the very first English camp I ever did was with that man down there in the lower right-hand corner, the one and only Paul Bowman. And I would say that that was an example for me of just like, hey, this youth ministry stuff actually isn't, I like him. He's kind of cool. And look what he's doing with all those kids. Wow, maybe this is something I could do too. So, and then I got pulled into it. And then we found ourselves over here. We moved over in 2010 and worked with JV in the English camps ministry for about 5.5 years, then felt the Lord was leading us back to America, then recognized the huge error of our ways in 2019 and came back to the Czech Republic now again with Josiah Venture in a new role in the training team. But we're going to talk today about that big question. What is the purpose of youth ministry? Why do we do youth ministry? And is any good Zoom talk should be, I'm going to open it up to the floor for people to answer. What is the purpose of youth ministry, everybody? And cue the awkward silence. Maybe.
I think it's discipling young people to a relationship to Jesus and to follow him.
Yep. Yes, Sophia. Yes. We love that answer. That is correct. In fact, does anybody else want to try? Does anybody else want to try? Yeah, Terry?
Stephanus also wrote in the chat, making disciples. So,
also acceptable too. Thank you. Thank you for writing in the chat. I can't see that one part. I want to see all your faces, but that's good too. Well, then let's keep moving. I think some of the aspects like those two answers, the purpose of youth ministry is a place also of opportunity because as actually we were talking last night and Paul said, you know, I love doing youth ministry because they have their whole lives in front of them. And when we think about opportunities, we sometimes see opportunities in front of us and we don't realize it. And this is when I get to do a very relevant illustration that's going to speak mainly probably to Tom and Christy more than anybody else. But does everybody know both of these names on here? You know one of them for sure, but do you know the second one? Does a European know the name Blockbuster? Let me ask that question. I see Zala, yes. Zala, what was Blockbuster?
So I read articles about it. I've never seen it, but weren't they like sending the video cassettes or whatever for the movies?
It's close. It's close. Yeah. It's close. It was actually a store you could go to and you could rent your favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
Christy and I definitely, you know, a lot of our weekends were dominated by what you got to pick at Blockbuster. But anyway, in 1994, Blockbuster was valued at over $8 billion, which in 1994 was, you know, like a lot of money. And this little company called Netflix, who was sending DVDs in the mail, said, hey, we're also interested in streaming videos. Would you want to buy us for $50 million? And I'm not kidding. The CEO of Blockbuster literally laughed in their faces and said, no way, we're never going to buy your stupid little company. And so does anybody know what happened to old Blockbuster? This is what happened. In 1 year, they went from a value of $6 billion. And look at that revenue. It went from $6 billion to bankrupt in a year. And in fact, right now, Netflix is valued at over $200 billion. Okay. So we talk about missed opportunities in youth ministry. This is the example with young people. We don't want to miss those opportunities, but there's another piece about why we do youth ministry as well. And it's a little thing called influence. And I'll just ask this to the crew as well, too. Who is this person? And, yep, we've got some. Terry didn't know earlier, which is what I was kind of planning on. But I can throw him under the bus because I can. Does anybody know who this is? Anybody? Anybody? No, but okay, Mark, you got to answer. Mark, who is that?
I'm a little bit sad that I know this, but it's Charli D'Amelio, I think.
Charli D'Amelio, that is absolutely correct. Charli D'Amelio is 17 years old. She is the number one person on TikTok. She has 115 million followers on TikTok. 115 million followers. In fact, she has like 5 billion views collectively on her TikTok channel. And the only reason I found that out is because I had to go and look at it, which made for awkward conversations with my wife later on as to what are you doing? And I said, I swear it's for work. So anyway, but here's the problem. Here's the reality. If you watch anything on YouTube or TikTok, it's these young people and the amount of influence, like Charli 17, Mr. Beast. I don't know if you know him on YouTube. He's got like hundreds of millions of followers. He's 22 years old. So the influence that youth have, especially today with social media, is rampant. So the more influence we can have, especially as we do youth ministry, I feel it's like a greater outcome. But ultimately, the purpose of youth ministry in particular is the Great Commission. This is what we're all about. You know, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So we want to notice something in here. We want to pay attention, especially to two commands in particular. And I'm wondering, oh, I just gave it away. I just totally gave it away. Look at that classic youth ministry guy move.
Two.
Tom, help me. Two. Correct, Tom. Good job. Look at him. He just jumped right in on it, gang. He's so on top. And Tom, do you know what those two commands are? Do you want to take a venture another guess?
Uh-oh.
See, yeah, now it got. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yep.
Go. No. Make disciples and teach them.
Make disciples and teach them. Okay, that's close.
Or
that's
baptize
one.
Them.
We'll give you baptize something along
several.
That line. Several. There are several. There's actually, though, there's two commands. There's multiple verbs. And the two commands are make disciples and behold. All right. Another way you can look at that is you can say, you know, we want to make disciples, but the behold, that means we want to look to Jesus. You know, I want to use behold like more in my regular everyday vocabulary, like especially with my kids, you know, like behold, your father enters the room, like look to me, I'm here, you know. But Tom's right. There's also other action words in there too. We call those verbs. There's three verbs we see. He said a couple of them, going also, baptizing, and then the other one is teaching them to obey. But we want to put that into more of like a youth person context. And so when we say going, we mean from a sense of like, we want to take the initiative. Like this is, you know, it's we want to encounter young people where they're at, be it in youth group, be it in schools, wherever it might be. And that piece of baptizing, we're saying this is their identity, okay? Because when you're getting baptized, you're saying, I'm a part of this. And so we're giving them an identity in that sense. And then that last one, teaching them to obey, this is knowledge, but it's not just knowledge of like, well, now I know all the right answers. We want them, like, we want this in their heart. Like, we want this, like, who they are as a person. But, you know, in youth ministry, we sometimes have other aims. We have other things we get involved with, right? We've all been there. My hand's raised, but you can't even see it because when I was a youth leader, I was all about fun. Fun. We need fun. The kids want to have a good time. I grew up in church. I know what's exciting and what's boring. Church is boring. So we need to have a good time. We need to have a lot of fun. We need to throw dye at each other and smash into people. I guess this is not me or anyone else I know, but you know, you just find fun youth group things. But then there's also that aspect of events. You know, you want to go, you want to be a part of something huge. Like we would go to these Christian conferences with awesome bands and music and speakers, and we would, you know, rededicate our life to Jesus for the 12th time. And then, you know, forget it all the next week and be excited for when the next one's coming, because that's what we were looking forward to. You know, we needed that excitement. Or sometimes we also default into this like educate and pressure mentality. Like if we just tell them what to do and tell them what to do and tell them what to do and tell them what to do, it'll click into their brains. And now I'm not saying that any of these are specifically wrong or bad, that we shouldn't be doing them. I think these are all parts of youth ministry, but they shouldn't dominate our youth ministry. They have different places in them. What we want to remember, again, is those two commands of we want to make disciples and we want to look to Jesus, okay? This should be our focus in our youth ministries. And the big question, obviously, I know you're thinking right now is, but Rob, how do we do this? And I'm glad you're thinking that, because I would love to tell you. And the way we do that is two specific ways. If we think about that aspect of making disciples, well, we want to do it like Jesus. And so that's why in John 20, 21, he says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. But then as we look to Jesus, we need to abide with him. We want to walk in the way that he walked. We want to be like him. Okay. That's how we want to break down those two pieces. And again, we've all been in the youth ministry realm. We've all been a part of this stuff, so we know what those are. But okay, that's still great. But let's get a little bit more in some of those like application things. So I want to ask everybody a question. What is this? And this isn't like deep, you know, philosophical, like just literally, what is this?
It's a map.
Correct. Correct. Aliana. Well done. 12 points. Well done. Terry, yes? It's not a map of Ostrava. That's true. I do live in Ostrava, but before I lived in Ostrava, I lived in Prague. In fact, I've lived in Prague some of the longest of my life, and I live down there kind of at the bottom, but we don't need to get in that now. So this is a map of Prague. That is absolutely correct. And can somebody tell me, what does a map do? Again, not philosophical, just like real, like Sunday school, second grade answer. It's okay.
It shows us where is what.
Yes, Hansa, absolutely. It shows us where we are. Do you know what else a map can do? One more trick.
Shows you where to go.
Shows you where to go. Bjorn, look at that. Out of left field. That's so good. Amazing. Amazing. It shows you where you are and it shows you where to go. And it also can show you how to get there. That's also super helpful, right? Right. But what's great is this is a map. This is a map. This is a map. And this is a map. Now, I have a question for you. Which one is correct?
Depends on what you're looking for. They all are.
They all are. Correct answer, Tom. They are all correct, especially this one from the 1800s. Like this one probably isn't as correct now as it was back then, but it was at one time. Especially, see, look, and Bjorn, it's all in German. Congrats. It's when you guys had this. Anyway, so we'll move back down. I like this one instead. But these are all maps. Maps all show us where to go, how to get there. And that's what we're going to talk about today, this Jesus model of ministry in terms of utilizing maps, but not these kind of maps, but just a map that says, hey, this isn't exact. This isn't just the way you're supposed to do it. But this is a guide. This is going to help you walk through and give some perspective, some direction and understanding of where you are and where you need to go. But before we get to that, I'd love you to listen to a friend of mine, Tomasz, to hear what he had to say about his encounter with Jesus and his encounter with discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Tomasz. I'm from the Czech Republic. I'm 20 years old. Me growing up, I didn't hear a lot about Jesus or about Christianity at all. I just thought it was some kind of tradition for old people to go into the church and pray there. And just, it was more of like, it seemed as a restriction rather than a relationship. I was 15 years old and I was supposed to make a decision where I was going to go for high school. And so I applied to the school, and that was the very first time, once I got there, when I first met people who had a relationship with God. And there was something different about them. They were so open to me. They were loving me, listening to me, what I had to say. And it was not conditioned by anything. It was just because of who I was. I was accepted the way I was. And I wanted to have what they had. Two of my friends, they just asked me if I wanted to talk about God some more and about the Bible some more. And I said, okay, I'm open. Let's see what you guys have. After a year of being exposed to God and His people who love Him, I decided to follow God fully. And through that, I discovered my passion to tell other young people about Jesus. Jesus called us to make disciples from all nations, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I love to see people coming to know Him and to pursue Him. Jesus changed my life.
Nice. So I want to ask this question of everybody. What did you hear in his story as he was talking? Hanzo, you unmuted, so now you have to answer. Sorry. You unmute, so now you have to answer. That's the way this goes. Don't leave me hanging, man.
Okay. I heard that they loved him and accepted him as he is, and not judging him.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that he came from a place with knowledge of Christians.
Uh-huh.
Sort of, it was just a practice that old people did.
Yep.
I heard that he was invited to study the Bible and discover more about God.
Also, right. Any other observations? Anything else you may have heard? Okay.
He saw people who had a relationship with Jesus or with God. He saw that.
Aha! Uh-huh. Nice. So the neat thing about Tom's story, and I wish he was here because he could even continue to kind of tell more of it, though he probably wouldn't shut up if I'm totally honest. We love him, but boy, that boy, once he gets going, he just does not stop. But just continuing on in bringing others along with him and continuing to make disciples, that is kind of his MO, and it's really cool. So this leads us then to talking about, as we said, kind of that path, that direction, that avenue of a map, the path of a growing disciple. And one of the things we see, and this is something we apply in our organization in Josiah Venture, is we recognize that Jesus met people where they were at, and he challenged them to take the next step forward spiritually. And this moves people from kind of unbelief to this line of maturity within the realm of discipleship. And what we call these challenges in particular are, we call them five challenges. And so what I'm going to do is just kind of list them off here, and then we'll talk about them a little bit more in depth as we keep going. But so the first one is come and see. And just think of Tom's story you just heard as we're kind of walking through these five challenges. So come and see. And then the next one up is repent and believe. Then after that, you have follow me. Then you have follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then the last one is I am sending you. Now, if you're writing these down, great. We'll also make the PowerPoint available afterwards. So if you miss something, you can click through and have access to it. And I believe it's also in your notes as well with the attached PDF as well. But one of the things we also want to talk about first off is what the five challenges are not. And they are not a spiritual indicator. Okay, so this is not something whereby the people at level five are the best and they are the top Christians in their class and everybody in three and four, well, they're just losers. You know, that's not what we're saying in this. This all falls under the realm of discipleship, of moving people through the process of discipleship, because you know, the reality is this is not an indication of your walk with Jesus. You could be this like deep monk-like Mother Teresa. You're just in this, you know, follow me challenge. You're not actually making disciples. So we want to put this in the context of saying this fits within the realm of discipleship. This is why we're talking about it in that place of discipleship. And this is also applicable in, you know, we've got a lot of different ministries that are represented here. Some of you guys are doing like younger youth ministry. Some of you are doing like legit youth ministry. I mean, Tom's with Awana, which I did when I was like 7. And I can sing the theme song right now if you want me to, but I won't. I won't, but you're welcome for that one. Anyway, so let's walk through the 5 challenges and give a little bit more meat to these bones for what it's worth. So the first one is come and see. And again, I'll keep referring back to Tom as kind of the example. Tomash, sorry, not to Tom, one of our participants. Tom, you're now on the you're now the example for the rest of the day. So if this hits home, I'm sorry. If not, I'm talking about the other guy. Don't worry. So first off, come and see in a come and see environment. These are the newbies. These are the people who have no relationship to Jesus whatsoever. And in fact, we even say that we usually encounter about 4 different types of people in the come and see environment. And so you have, you know, the curious. This could be the people maybe who are kind of slightly interested, like Tomash said, he had kind of been around some Christians. He wasn't totally sure. You have the religious piece. So if you're in, say, Ukraine or Slovakia, you know, you guys have some of those more kind of Catholics, Orthodox roots, you know, that's what you're going for. And then you have the disinterested. This might be more the Czech Republic, where we just don't care. We don't care about religion in any way, shape, or form. And so whatever. And then also the opposed, the people who are just like, not only do I don't care, I don't want it. Like, just back off. These are the type of people that we see usually in this come and see environment. Because these are the ones, again, they don't have a relationship with Jesus. All of this is just new. And so like Tomash said, he was with his friends. They were talking about it. He had some idea, but this was that kind of first piece. We also like to say it's where you expose people to the gospel. And in fact, one of the ways we in Josiah Venture like to expose people to the gospel is through one of our ministries. This is Edge. And this is actually in Ukraine. This is our Edge floorball team. And it is, Kristen's very proud about that one. And what Edge does is simply it gives an opportunity for young people to encounter Jesus through sports. So the whole point is to expose them to the gospel through opportunities through sports. We have a couple other ministries. One of them is Fusion that Terry helped to start here. That's all based around music and arts. So we've got ways in which we can expose people to the gospel. And that's, again, that first challenge, come and see. Now, the next one up is repent and believe. And this is that key part where you're going to make a change in your life and come to accept Jesus. And so on our team, we have, I think the best example we've got is from our one and only military guy, and that's Casey Yorman. Casey's a good buddy of mine, and he was a Marine, and he tells this story that I thought was so good, I wanted to share it with you guys as well. And he's also super tough. So he told me I had to share this or he was going to beat me up. So this is the reason why you guys are seeing this video. Please tell me how much you enjoyed it, and then he won't take my lunch money. But here's Casey to talk to you. I think I have to click.
I was a United States Marine. I spent 5 years in the Marine Corps. And boot camp, where everyone starts out, it's a lot of work, by the way. The first thing you learn is how to march. Some of those basic commands are platoon halt, about face, forward march. It's actually a really good picture of repentance, right? Halt, stop the direction you're going, about face, turn around and face towards God, and forward march. The basic problem with humanity is that we all want to be independent. You know, we all want to do our own thing, want to head in our own direction. We want to make our own choices. Well, the reason that repentance is neglected is that it's costly. It costs us a lot. It means reshaping our entire lives. And people, because repentance is tough, we try and devise a way even to be Christian without halt, about face, forward march. Here's the thing. When we actually walk in the direction of God, the end of that path, it is God. You see, with repentance, we're not just turning away from something, we're actually turning towards something even greater. And that something is fellowship with God. Those people that have walked that path towards God, they talk about the real and the rich reality of that relationship with Jesus. We want to teach and practice genuine repentance. Halt, turn and face Jesus, and forward march.
Boom, the military guy. So along with repent and believe, this is that piece of evangelizing. This is where we want people to have that knowledge of Jesus, make that heart change, and follow Jesus. And then that leads naturally into follow me. Awesome. So Rob, what does follow me mean? Well, guys, it basically means we want to look at the roots of like what it means to like build up in Christ. Okay. And so we use this example, we call it our Colossians tree, because Colossians walks through all these key parts that you need. And so as you begin to build up in your roots, it also moves into outward expressions of things like worship, obedience, love of other people. So this is that area where you're beginning to build your relationship to Jesus, which is also why we call it build. Wow. Look at that. It's like these are connected or something. And then from there, we go to the mouthful. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And this is the one where we want to help people grow in their own walks with Jesus, but also have them have eyes for others around them. So I don't know if you've ever encountered Dare to Share, which is a ministry in the States as well. And they do this great thing called the Prayer Care Share Circle. And the idea behind it is that you want to pray with passion, you want to pursue in love, and you want to persuade with the truth. And we love what these guys do because they are all about having eyes for the lost. You know, Jesus said, like, lift your eyes, the fields are white for harvest. Like, there's people out there and we need to know how to see them, but we want to see them in the right way. We don't want to see them like this, because this is how a lot of Christians see their friends. Oh, look, I got 5 more heaven points if I get grandma, and it's a bonus if I get the other guy as well. I don't know why the dog isn't really in there. Like, that's a whole different theological conversation we'll have in Terry's class later on this week. So anyway, but what we want to do then is recognize that what Jesus did in the midst of bringing others in, he had this kind of threefold approach that we call teach, act, reflect, boom. And we even see that prayer, care, share circle fits really well in the act, because what Jesus would do is he kind of tell his disciples what he was going to do. He would actually do it, and then he would reflect on it. And so this is that kind of application phase as we begin to help others grow not only in their own walk with Christ, but also in seeing others around them to have that discipleship mindset. We also call this the equipping phase. And then the last one is I am sending you. And this is where we find that our discipleship relationships have kind of hit their peak. You recognize saying like, hey, Hansa, Mark, Bjorn, whoever, you know, you and I have walked a discipleship road, and now you're ready to go disciple people yourself. And so we're sending people out. We're moving them out into the harvest to bring others along with them, which we also call send. And then if you want to see the whole thing in one snapshot, it looks like this. So this is kind of what we like to see, that idea of moving them from loss to maturity in their disciple-making relationships and moving them forward all in the midst of the local church. And one of the things that I think is also really easy and enjoyable as well about this, hey, I'm back, is you can also do this like on a piece of paper. And what I mean by that is like we do this thing, we've talked about maps earlier. So this is a ministry map. And actually, all right, I think this is going to work. I don't totally know, guys, but get ready for this multimedia experience. But if you draw a line here, you just draw one here, and then you do another one here. You do another one here and another one here. Watch this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And in this, you're able to see, like, you can put your own people, say people in your youth group or even the programs that you're doing. And you can say like, okay, so in my youth group, who we got here? So we have Mark, you know, Mark's growing. Oh, it's really hard to draw an M with this one. All right. So we'll just do an M here. So Mark's really, he's kind of in a follow me thing. But, you know, Tom, like, I've been working with Tom for a good while. So he's like, we're doing Christy, man, she's just sending people out. You know, Terry needs to accept Jesus. So he's over here. That's where we're going to put him. And Kuba, since he showed up late, he's just a come and see. Like he's not even interested in Christians. Plus he's Czech, so you know he's against the whole thing to begin with. But what you get to see now, we call this our ministry map. And the ministry map just gives you a quick snapshot to be able to recognize, like, okay, so where do I find a lot of the people in my ministry? Are they all kind of bunched up here? Like, how do I move them forward to that next step? Like, how do I challenge them in the same way Jesus challenged his disciples to move forward in those disciple-making relationships?